Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
To Italy. Now, Rome is getting ready to bury the late Pope Benedict XVI, who died at the age of 95 on New Year's Eve. After lying in state for the last 3 days, dignitaries from Vatican circles and beyond are attending the funeral service in St. Peter's. Hugo McCafferty is an Irish journalist based in Italy. Hugo, good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Compared to the last funeral for a pontiff, Pope John Paul II, this is a rather subdued affair.
Yeah, well, that's partly because he is Pope. He was Pope Emeritus. He had resigned in 2013, but also partly by his specific request. He was a very simple person. He didn't want an elaborate ceremony. He wanted everything pared back. So while he does get a lot of the rites and the service that a pope would get, it's a much pared back and simpler affair.
What are we expecting today? There's no significant number of foreign dignitaries. It is largely Vatican officials, archbishops, cardinals, and so on.
Yeah, the only official dignitaries visiting are from Italy and from his native Germany. There are others in attendance in an unofficial capacity. But what we'll expect today is, as the ceremony is ongoing, is a very solemn and sober affair with a lot of the sort of ceremonial traditions that you would expect for a papal burial. From a religious point of view, it's a very significant event. There has been, you know, as many as 200,000 people coming in to pay their respects as he lay in rest since Wednesday. And as many as 90,000 in the square today. So obviously for Catholics, it is a very important event.
Of course, the opinion of Benedict varies wildly. There are those within the Catholic Church, particularly those of the stricter doctrine, who were huge fans of his. But he's held in very high regard in Italy, is he?
Yeah, I would say very high regard within Italy and around the world. And I think his legacy, like everything about Pope Benedict, is very, very complicated. He was a man of great principle, I think, whether you agree with him or whether you don't. I think he was a man who tried to govern the church in a way that really, according to his own, what he saw as high morality. He did, of course, admit to making great mistakes, but his legacy will take a long time to unfold and to be understood. I think he is the man of contradictions. He was, I think, a very, very human and compassionate person, but he was the great intellectual and theologian. He governed with the head, as opposed to Francis, who maybe governs a bit more with the heart. He's thought of as the great conservative, but at the same time, he wasn't afraid to swim against the current and really tried to define, you know, the essence of what is the faith, even if that made him unpopular. And I think that role that he took on as the iron fist in the white glove took a toll on him personally, and led ultimately to the decision to abdicate, which again was a very, very unusual decision. It was 600 years since the Pope had stepped down, but he thought, you know, the church needed somebody fitter and stronger at this time, and he was willing to sacrifice his lifelong goal in order to facilitate that.
Arguably, he's been proven to be right, because his ill health in recent years meant he would probably not have been a very effective pontiff. And I suppose it lies in stark contrast to his predecessor, who didn't resign or retire and stayed until his health became so bad that eventually he passed away. Does it set a precedent?
Well, nothing sets a precedent for the papacy, because it's such an old order that everything has been done before. But I suppose that the Catholic Church is at a crossroads now. They have to decide. I mean, Francis has already written a letter of resignation that will be accepted if he becomes incapacitated due to ill health. He's 86 now. So while the cardinals are gathering for the funeral of Benedict, there will, of course, be lots of lobbying and jostling for the choice of the next pope. They need to decide whether to go further down the line of reform that Francis has taken, or whether to lean into the more conservative approach that Benedict was known for.
No, I was just going to say that, I mean, what is the likelihood of having another Benedict as opposed to a Francis?
It's sort of 50-50 at this point, and I think both the Conservatives and the Liberals are both very strong. It really comes down to timing, about how organised each lobby group are at the time of choosing a new pope. But it really is, you could throw the cards in the air at this point.
The funeral itself, when is it due to start? How long is it going to go on for? It's relatively simple by Vatican standards, but ultimately it's a funeral underneath the Vatican in the vaults of St. Peter's.
Yeah, the funeral service began at 8:30 this morning, and it is ongoing. The final mass, the final liturgy, will be given in about half an hour's time, and then he has already been placed in a cypress wood coffin that will then be placed into a zinc coffin that will be soldered shut, and then that will be placed into an oak coffin, and that will be entombed in the bowels of St. Peter's Basilica in the former tomb of Pope John Paul II.
Okay. Where's Pope John Paul II gone?
Well, they moved him above ground into the basilica itself once he was canonized.
Okay.
So that is that making space for Benedict.
One of the most fascinating things, Hugo, about going to the Vatican is occasionally, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, they leave parts of popes on display, and you get to see arms and legs and bits and pieces. They're not doing that with Benedict, obviously.
No, they won't do that with Benedict. I think he's very, very much sealed in. But there's a great tradition of the Memento Mori in the Catholic Church. And you can often see in Italy, you go into churches where you can see relics and remains of former archbishops and bishops and saints. And perhaps if he is beatified at some point, you never know, relics, whether they be authentic or not, might turn up in places you never expected.
Indeed. Hugo McCafferty, Irish journalist based in Italy. Thanks very much for that. That funeral for Pope Benedict the 16th is ongoing at the Vatican right now.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.